Welcome to the Amazing with Grace podcast, a spiritually relevant space for people like you who want to be excellent but not perfect. I am your host, Dr. Q Perry, a board certified and Christian psychologist based in Dallas, Texas. Although I want this show to be a helpful and inspirational resource for you, it is not meant to substitute for a relationship or treatment with a licensed mental health provider. For more information and additional resources, please visit our website at www.amazingwithgrace.com. Let's get into the show. Hey, welcome to another episode of the Amazing with Grace podcast. Thank you so much for joining me today. If this is your first time, welcome. And if it is not your first time, welcome back. Thank you all so much for your patience in my getting this next episode out. I have not been feeling well, and I've been starting to feel a little bit better. So thank you again for your patience. Today, I am going to be talking about part two of my very first podcast episode, which is Spiritual Thinking Traps. Believe it or not, this is my most downloaded episode. It's my most popular episode, and I was very, very shocked to know that many people were interested in learning more about spiritual thinking traps. So because it's my most popular episode, I thought what I would do is to add three additional thinking traps that prevent us from living the emotionally healthy lives that we were created to live. If you have not listened to the first episode, head on over and check out the episode and be prepared for your thinking to be challenged, because I dive really deep into four common thinking traps. And thinking traps are just patterns in our thought that keep us stuck and that prevent our emotions and impact our decisions and our relationships. And today I will be talking about three additional spiritual thinking traps that prevent us from living the emotionally healthy lives that we were created to live. And before we jump in, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe, and share this with two friends who you think can benefit from taking a look at their own spiritual thinking traps. All right, this first one is called logic. And you might be thinking, now how is logic a spiritual trap? Well, if anybody's like me, you're not just a thinker, but you are an overthinker, okay? And I'll explain what I mean. I think one of our greatest strengths is our mind and our ability to think about things, but it can become a trap because it leads to overthinking. When we're trying to figure things out, we start getting into reasoning, and we can try to think of 10 different reasons why something did or didn't happen, why someone did or didn't respond, and it really starts to take a toll on us. Let me give you an example. Let's say your friend posts a picture and you like the picture and you make a comment about it, but your friend doesn't respond. I think our minds are naturally inclined to start thinking, well, was it just an accident? Were they trying to act funny? Maybe you did something wrong. Then you start trying to replay the last interaction that you had with one another, and you start thinking, well, maybe they don't want to be my friend anymore, and this is just their way of showing it. I mean, our minds can go in so many different directions based on one thing, right? That's just one example. Another common example of a logic trap that I find is when we don't get something that we've prayed for, when we don't get someone that we've prayed for. We try to understand why God allowed this to happen. Maybe God is mad at me. Maybe God doesn't like me. Am I not doing enough as a Christian? Maybe I didn't pray hard enough. And we try to reason and figure things out so we can know the future and be prepared for it. You want to know what's going to happen at this time. How is my life going to turn out? And this trap called logic can even show up when we say to ourselves that we can't move forward until we have all the answers. I can't move on until I can get closure so I can understand why this person doesn't want to be with me, right? I can't move on with pursuing my purpose until God shows me the next step that I need to take after that. And here's what I know. Wanting to figure everything out and wanting to get more information about everything, it's a trap because it makes us think that we'll have peace when we get all of the answers. And usually it only leads to more questions. And I do talk about this a little bit more in my book, The Emotion Devotional, and I'll make sure to link it at the end of our show notes. So when we think about logic and trying to figure everything out, it is emotionally and physically exhausting. Can you relate to that? Have you ever just been tired from thinking and feeling just fatigued because your mind is going and going and going? And I think it's because we get physically drained from trying to understand everything. And when that happens, that's our clue to know that we are trying to get into God's territory, which is not for us. Now, I do think that it's okay for us and even necessary for us to do our due diligence about matters. But when we start overthinking, it is unproductive emotionally and spiritually, and it keeps us trapped. And here's what I have to remind myself. If God really told me everything, or if I knew all the answers to everything, then do I really need trust? Would I really need faith? And then would God really be God? If I knew all the answers, then would I need to trust God? Would I need faith? And then would God really be God? So let me give you some scriptures to meditate on if you can identify with this trap called logic. And this first one is found in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, and it says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and pleading with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." When I think about this scripture, sometimes the answer is for us to give it to God. Give God all of your questions. Tell God you're trying to figure this thing out. You're trying to understand everything. And sometimes God's answer is to wait and to trust Him and to remember that His grace is sufficient. Another helpful scripture is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. And this is the one that we often hear people say, that God is not the God of confusion. God is not the author of confusion. This scripture is a very firm reminder that when we start to get confused, so much so that it impacts us emotionally and spiritually, then it's a very firm reminder that we are getting ourselves outside of where God wants us to be. And the last one is found in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9, and it reads, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." This scripture is a reminder to us that when we start trying to figure things out, we start trying to anticipate how God is going to answer a certain type of prayer, why God didn't answer the prayer the way that we wanted it to. Again, I do believe that we can go to God and talk to Him and let Him know what's on our hearts. But when we are trying within our own strengths to come up with answers, I think that is where we get into the trap. So I hope those scriptures are helpful to you if the logic trap is one that you can identify with. I know it's certainly one that I have helped so many people work through. It's something that I have struggled with from time to time as I transition to different phases of my life. I have to go back and remind myself of these particular scriptures. Now let's move on to trap number two. And this one is the trap called spiritual bypass. And this is a term created by John Wellwood that means, quote, A tendency to use spiritual ideas and practices to sidestep or avoid facing unresolved emotional issues, psychological wounds, and unfinished developmental tasks. He goes on to say that the purpose of spiritual bypass is to shore up a shaky sense of self, belittle basic needs, feelings, and development. What does all of this mean, Dr. Perry? People think that when they are perpetually positive and they avoid thinking about things, that they are healthy spiritually. But it's a trap because you're deceived into thinking that if you don't work on issues that they aren't there, or if you only say something positive that the emotional distress will take care of itself. And really what you're doing is avoiding working on true issues, and it keeps you trapped into thinking that things are okay. And what happens is those emotions build up and they express themselves in other ways. Sometimes they manifest as physical complaints. Sometimes they manifest in anger. Sometimes they manifest with isolation from other people. Sometimes it manifests as depression. It can manifest in so many different ways. But again, when we are using the trap called spiritual bypass, we are deceived into thinking that we are growing spiritually, but really it's not authentic growth. Okay. Sometimes I've seen spiritual bypass even show up as constant busyness in the service of God or doing good for others, saying that you've forgiven someone when you really haven't, or saying that something doesn't bother you when you know that it does, dismissing your own feelings and forcing yourself to believe it's not that bad, right? And over time, you start to invalidate other people's feelings because you invalidate your own. You start to deny your own emotional needs as well as that of other people, right? So spiritual bypass is definitely a trap, and I definitely want to make sure that we as Christians are well aware of what this is, okay? And I want to give us some tips to manage this if you recognize that this is a trap that you struggle with. The very first thing is, I would say, to be compassionate with yourself, because whatever emotion you feel, though it's uncomfortable and it may cause you to feel vulnerable, the reality is that that emotion is common to humanity, and it doesn't mean that you lack faith, or it doesn't mean that you're less than on the spiritual totem pole, okay? And another thing we need to do is learn how to identify your emotions by increasing your emotional vocabulary. And this is something else that I also talk about in my book. I think one of the reasons why it's really hard for us to express our negative or uncomfortable emotions is because we don't actually have the language for it. We kind of have a very stunted or limited vocabulary when it comes to negative, or what we perceive to be as negative or unpleasant emotions. And so when we are trying to learn how to express and be vulnerable with God and being vulnerable with other people, we have to learn how to properly label the emotions that we feel. And part of that is acknowledging that emotion to God and someone else that you trust, even if it's to a counselor, so that you can truly begin to work and grow through it. Another tip that has been life-changing for me is to look in the Bible for scriptures and characters who experienced similar emotions for what you're going through. And you'll see that even biblical heroes, including Jesus, also experienced many of the emotions that we experience today. So it lets you know that we're still human and we don't have to over-spiritualize uncomfortable emotions. And our third trap is the trap called shoulds. Okay, this is the trap called the shoulds. And this is thinking that someone, including yourself, should do or should be a certain way. You might find yourself thinking that your way is the only way something can be done, or you might be overly rigid with spiritual principles. And an example of this comes up every day. Do you notice that you tell yourself that you shouldn't feel this way? Or you find yourself thinking that because you've been in a relationship or a friendship with somebody for so long that they should know how you feel. You might unconsciously think that everyone should like you because you're a nice person. You might find yourself thinking that someone shouldn't raise their kids like that, or that you should never express your feelings, that you should be married by now, that God should answer all of your prayers the way that you want Him to, that life should be easy, and that you shouldn't need therapy because you're strong. Can you identify with any of those shoulds? I know that they are common, and we've all probably thought something similar to these, if not these exact thoughts. But it's really hard to get out of this trap because we put the pressure on ourselves and other people to meet this standard. Whatever that should is, it's like we can't be flexible to see another way around it. And these kinds of thoughts make you feel anxious. They make you feel guilty, frustrated, lonely, disappointed, and resentful. And you can even be judgmental, impatient, or manipulative to get other people to do what you think they should be doing or not do what you think they shouldn't be doing. And even when it comes to yourself, you can even give up quickly on your goals if you don't accomplish something in the time that you think you, quote, should. Okay? And so again, this is a trap because it keeps us from being able to be authentic, being able to enjoy the journey and learn along the way. This is how perfectionism is bred, right? And I also talk in another episode about perfectionism, and I'll also be sure to link that episode. So let me give you some tips if you find that you struggle with the trap of shoulds. This first one is to extend grace to others and yourself, right? You have to learn how to be accepting and patient with your own shortcomings and that of other people. You also have to put your focus on God and His Word, because usually our expectations are faulty and unreasonable, right? And even if we get into thinking that God says that we should do something, we have to be very careful that we have not misinterpreted the word. And if you struggle with that, ask your spiritual leader, read some articles online, read some Bible commentaries, because a lot of times people say what God has said and it is not actually in the word of God, or it is taken out of context. And so sometimes we strive to do something that we think that we should do according to God, and it's not even biblical. It's somebody's preference, right? And there is a difference. And the last tip for that one is to, if you are a person who likes to journal, you can journal about two ways that you can learn to accept your own shortcomings. Write about how you can enjoy the journey a lot more instead of beating yourself up, okay? And so that those journal prompts are to identify ways that you can learn to accept your shortcomings and write about how you can learn to enjoy the journey. Okay, so those are three additional spiritual traps that I notice we often struggle with, and I thought it would be really good to add those to the ones that we've already discussed in that very first episode. I hope that these have been helpful to you, and we will move into our prayer time. Father God, thank you for today. Thank you for allowing us to get to this portion of our lives. Thank you for allowing us to get to this time of the year where we are starting to reflect on the thoughts that keep us trapped. Father God, would you forgive us for the things that we do and say that are not of you? And I pray that you would give us a special portion of your peace when we find ourselves thinking in ways that are not like you, and it prevents us from being fruitful for your kingdom. I pray that every listener here on this podcast receives a blessing from being able to apply what we've talked about today. And if not for them, if they can be a blessing to someone else. We thank you for all things that you are and all that is to come. And it's in your Son Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Well, that is our episode for today. Stay tuned. In our next episode, we will be talking about how to handle grief in the holiday season. Until next time, take care.